painting me out to be the bad guy. Well, that's the last time you're gonna see a bad guy do the rap game like me.
So welcome back to our RuPaul's Drag Race series review. I'm Dolce Giannis, and this is my cast. Well, our cast. Wow, I'm really trying to take ownership here.
It's a crew, bitch. It's a crew.
We are the crew for Filth, and this week we'll be talking about episode, I guess it's technically 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
We really don't want to rip people's ears apart. Yeah, let's not rip their ears apart. I know I can't sing, and I know Caputo can only carry a tune. Julio, you
know, at least you gave me that much.
Yeah, Caputo can shake. Wow, that was bad. Caputo can shake something and sing something. She could probably whisper. I think she's like the Tinashe of the group slightly.
Okay.
You know, she's giving a little bit of that.
I can see that.
It's spacey. I actually can see Caputo as like a Tinashe, like doing that two-on dance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Ooh, yes, I can see that. don't even put my dancing shoes on, y'all. I'm on the floor with y'all hoes.
Well, I don't know about all that, but yeah.
Neither do I. I was like, girl, excuse me? So, oh, she is brave. Tinashe is brave, girl. Get an album out, girl.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh. Anyways.
So, love you, Tinashe. It's nice to be back. I am the prophetess, or like I said before, Isoy la prophetisa, because Dahlia Sin went home. Yes, I'm a fucking prophet. Like, I'm telling you, I know this show. I am backstage.
Pretty much. I mean, again, like when I saw that and I knew that she was going home, I was like, Dolce really knew. And that was honestly the first thing that I thought of, because to be completely honest, I still was kind of gagging for her and it really hurt. But I was like, damn, even with that, like she really had nothing else.
Right. My question, there was nothing. What were you gagging over other than the looks?
I was gonna say, actually,
that was just it. That's what I mean, though, is like the look. And even like her runway was kind of like, it didn't really gag me as much, but she's like still really pretty, and I was like getting my life from that.
Right.
But then I knew it wasn't gonna last her.
It might be because speaking to Dolce for the last review that we did, but when I watched this episode, I was just not into it anymore. I don't know. Like, not to say she was suddenly not cute or whatever. She's obviously a totally competent drag queen and she looked great. But I agree. I think it just got a little bit boring. It was just like, girl, what are you doing with this? And when she did the skit, which I'm sure we'll get into, oh my goodness. Child.
Yeah. I mean, the skit across the board was a problem, but her specifically, like, you really could have did a lot with that fucking broccoli head, but we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
So anyways, the episode opens up and we see the episode 1 girls meeting the episode 2 girls. I'm kind of seeing this crossover. How do we feel about like this like awkward crossover?
Well, we've seen it before. So you kind of knew what to expect. They even said, like, I forget who said it, but the season, maybe it was the first or the second episode people, but someone was like, oh, they're doing a season 6 on us, like, da-da-da-da. Like, so everyone, like, kind of knew, like, what to expect from it. You knew there was not going to be a bottom 2. There's going to be a top 2. So if you've watched the show before, you kind of knew that they were going to be waiting on them. It's going to be all dramatic and da-da-da-da-da. Right. What I did think was kind of cute, though, was that, like, who was the one that was, like, telling all the tea of, like, the fight and stuff?
Jada was telling the tea
with Sherry. And then everyone was like, girl, like, why are you spilling all the tea? Like, you're showing us your weaknesses or whatever. And I'm like, this isn't really a weakness. They're just, like, talking about how they were fighting. I don't know. So they kind of tried making it into, like, a thing. But I think after a while, like, you just are going to realize that you're like your own person. You're not like on a team. You're not like you're not first episode, you're not second episode, you're just your own person trying to win. But it was cute.
It looked like they took advantage of the fact that the audience didn't necessarily know for sure yet. I think they were trying to sort of like maybe drop something there to make it feel like they were two distinct teams. Whether they keep with that or not, I guess just remains to be seen. But that was a little weird.
So, also, how do we feel about Gigi in black hair? Because I was living.
I got my life when I saw her in the black hair. I was like, oh my God. I thought they were going to be in their like original outfits. So, like from the first episode. So I was gagged to see her in black. I think she looks really good in black.
She looked very vampy. I loved like a vampy, like pin-up-y kind of look on her, which is different.
She was giving me, oh my God, why am I so bad with names today? The other vampy pinup girl.
Oop!
Help me.
Vampy pinup girl, another one.
Winner of season 7.
Violet Chachki?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say Vanjie, too. I was going to like hate myself if I actually said that on camera. Or not on camera, on recording. That is not Vanjie pinup. Yeah.
Gigi's got such a strong face, so when you have that, like the dark color sort of framing it, it just makes it strike even harder.
Yeah,
I think that was gaggy about it for sure.
Yeah. So we go from that to them like having their workroom entrance, everyone in boy, like male presenting mode. I thought they all looked really cute coming in. And then RuPaul comes in doing her usual shtick. At least she took off the Erykah Badu do-rag bandana.
I was so mad at that. So bad.
She took it off or that she finally took it off?
Girl, I'm like... This energy she's giving was like, I like, if I didn't know she was bald under there, I'm like, girl, this is giving me like very much so like Hollywood cancer patient energy. Like, you know how they always do that? Like they always have the girls in a head wrap and like, no, like I'm not trying to be insensitive. Like my mom survived breast cancer. I understand it's sensitive, but like, that's actually like, they give the girls like pamphlets on like how to wrap your headscarf and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was like seeing her in that with like the hat and everything. I was like, this is like, I don't know what sort of statement she was trying to make, but it felt very like weird. Like it didn't feel like something I expected. I guess it was just unexpected, but I'm kind of glad she did something else after that on episode 3.
Right. You heard it here, folks. We're in the middle of a pandemic and she's got on her cancer head wrap.
Girl, I was just like, what is she doing? It just seemed like a theme and I just was trying to understand it.
RuPaul always has a theme. It's like those suits and those fucking glasses and her having lynchings in her ranch up in the middle of wherever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was actually more so like settler vibes. Maybe it was giving colonist vibes.
She's dating a settler. She wants to be a settler. She settled in mainstream media. She's a settler.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in a way.
Just to give the reference to the audience, there was an article recently put out that allegedly RuPaul allows fracking on her ranch, her farm.
Child.
Yeah.
Really?
Can we give a definition of fracking just for the pure girls in the audience?
Let me get you a really good one because I don't want to just go based off of my...
Where is her ranch that she's even able to frack on it? Oh my God, stop.
At least a ring of hell.
Like where could it be that she's able to frack on it?
That's crazy. So it's, I don't know. I think it's out in the middle of like basically nowhere. You know where it is. With her white cowboy man, you know where it is. I know where it is.
Her white cowboy man.
who's white cowboy man? I'm confused.
RuPaul. Did you know that RuPaul is dating a white, like she's basically almost married to this man. She's been with him for years.
Oh, okay. I was not understanding where you were going with that, but continue with the definition.
Yeah, so fracking increases the potential for oil spills. It's like it harms like the soil and surrounding vegetation. It's basically just liquid at high pressures into subterranean rocks / boreholes. So it forces open existing fissures and extracts oil or gas. So basically, it's just drilling into the earth for like petroleum or brine or gas or any of those things using like hydraulic fracturing.
So when is she getting canceled?
I don't know.
I've been waiting for the black girls to do it, but I guess it might be the environmentalist vegan girls. Somebody got to do it.
Somebody got to come for her.
There's some real militant girls out there. I know they can do this. Come on, y'all.
We're all quarantined. Nobody's doing anything right now.
T, can't move right now.
So she comes down those stairs. Getting off that tangent. She comes off those stairs and she has the two top girls from both episodes come up to order up the other group that they weren't in on their episode, and you line them up based on how you feel about them in terms of are they competition or not.
So shady.
Willow,
but I kind of got my life though. I kind of like gagged.
It was so
like,
gaggy.
That's very shady, like to just be doing out in the open.
Willow put Heidi, Aiden Zane at the bottom, rightfully so, and she put Cherry Pie at basically the top, which it makes sense because she did win. And then Jada put Heidi at the bottom and then put Britta somewhat to the top. And who was her top?
She put Gigi.
That makes sense.
Didn't she? Yeah, I think she put Gigi at the top.
You know what? They weren't really shady as much as they were just aware of like who in that group is actually. No,
when I say shady, I mean like the RuPaul team is shady. Like
right
in that position. Yeah, like the girls were just being reasonable. Like
And they had to do it. It's not like they can get out of it. So it's like you had to do something. And like putting someone at the bottom or whatever, like I think Heidi was saying something about it where like, oh, like why would you do that to me? Like put me in the bottom. Like someone had to be in the bottom, girl. And like
period.
Given what we have seen, Heidi, for me at least, is near the bottom. But I see her quality and her star power, but just like the polishing that needs to be done, like I'm putting her somewhere near the bottom. Maybe not the dead bottom, but somewhere over there.
Heidi needs to get me to a point where like I believe that the audience is laughing with her instead of at her. When she gets there, that's where the star power comes in. She just needs to get us to a point where like we can believe that she's in on the joke.
The thing is also like she couldn't even pick a good drag name, like let alone be a really good drag queen. So like the fact that RuPaul is constantly trying to change her name because she couldn't even pick a good one, that I'm just like, we got to get you up. And I think that's probably going to be her underdog story anyway. So, you know, I'm just along for the ride. I'm along for the ride of it.
Rue heard y'all talking shit and was like, girl, I'm going to be charitable to this one black girl this season so y'all can fucking leave me the fuck alone. She said, I'm going to help her out, give her a good ass name. Y'all hosts can shut the fuck up.
Right.
Heidi Ho.
Yeah. Heidi Ho.
The girls are very aware of their competition though, because I feel like they lined up people literally how I would have lined them up. And to be in a competition and be that aware of who is your competitor is good, because most people, they're just in it and you can't see from the outside. So you misjudge some things, but they pretty much had it lined up to like who I think is at the top and who I think is pretty much at the bottom at this point.
Right.
Yeah. So we move from that to them picking teams. The bottom two ended up having their own teams. Aiden Zane ended up picking, of all people, Britta and Sherry. For her team, and then you had Heidi, Jackie Cox, and Gigi Good in one team, which I thought was actually pretty balanced. And then you had girls like Widow, Nikki Doll, and who was that other girl? Oh my God, and Heidi, giggle. It was Widow, Crystal with Nikki, who, I mean, in that group, I already knew who was going to shine.
Yeah, they were the campers or whatever.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird. And then, of course, Jada ended up getting Rock'em Sakura and, like, I think the other two girls, whoever they were.
Dahlia, right?
Dahlia, who I didn't care about.
And who was the other one?
Yeah, I don't remember who the other person was. It was Jada, Rock'em Sakura, Dahlia, who did really terribly, and like a fourth person.
Why are we forgetting someone?
I'm screaming. I actually knew all the girls.
I think we need the roster in front of us.
Maybe. I'm very surprised I actually... Oh, and Jan. Oh my God. How can I forget Jan?
That's the ones. Fuck.
Damn, that tells you like how forgettable she is when we're not...
I feel bad though, because like she honestly is kind of gaggy too. She's sickening.
Don't sick me.
She's a student material. That's the teacher's pet, girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we get into like America's Worst, which I'm like, why did you even make this challenge? Was this challenge even like, did you all care about this?
I have a very strong opinion about this show and its relationship with having such terrible acting challenges.
Terrible, like, Your Honor. Terrible.
It's like consistently so bad to the point where I almost can't watch them anymore. Because it's just so terrible. Even like the music, like the musicals, the Rusicals or whatever, even those get cringy at times. I can't do it. And at this point, they don't really care. It's all about quality TV and like what gets people to watch. But I don't know. I just think that also like consistently we've been getting a lot more acting challenges compared to like other creative challenges or sewing challenges or just any other type of challenge. So now just like the back-to-back, like we just had a dancing challenge with acting in it, and now we're having another like sitcom-y acting challenge. I don't know. And it was called Worst, which was very fitting. So
yeah.
I mean, the one that I enjoyed was the winners.
Oh yeah.
That was because it was so cringe that it was like good.
Yeah.
I could see that. I just think like I get such secondhand embarrassment watching these things that I can't actually sit there and endure it. I have no time for it. So sometimes I'll skip through the episode because I pre-record it. And it helps me so much because I can't. I get like, it's almost like nausea when I see someone fucking up so badly. I cannot.
Well, have you ever sat and thought like I did about the fact that these don't happen in one take? So they're constantly doing it over and over again. And this is what they piece together.
Never thought about that.
Oh my God. Like you're watching what was pieced together and cut and edited to like fit with the storyline that they have and then also look coherent. So,
yeah.
Like,
they need to have real challenges. Like Trixie Mattel and Alyssa Edwards were in an interview for at Roscoe's in Chicago, and they were talking and she was like, girl, you need to have real challenges. Like the best challenge is like, how fast can you get up these stairs with your luggage in 30 minutes to get ready for a drag show?
That's, yeah.
Like that's the real challenge. Like
And those were everything.
Yeah.
I think the show's going to actually turn into Top Model.
if it hasn't already. Honestly.
It's a spin-off of Top Model, so it makes sense like how.
But even before like the challenges were so much more Top Model-y and less like, I don't even know what to call these. Like gag reel. Like I don't really know what to call them because they're more centered around being funny.
They're meme generators.
Meme generators. They're hashtag generators. They're not as much like showing talent or showing resourcefulness. Because even quick drag, I love a good quick drag challenge.
I love
that. I love a good quick drag mini challenge. And I think I was watching Fashion Photo Review and both Raja and Raven had both agreed that their mini challenges, like they had to do quick drag. Like now these new girls are doing whatever Rue has them doing. Yeah. So it's just a completely different landscape of how the show's just changed. And I'm not sure if I'm completely on board with it, but I'm still tuning in. So RuPaul's got my coin.
Aren't we at a point now where it's basically like they just pull whatever outfit they have prepared for the episode out for their like for the episode? Like, isn't that what they're doing now for runway at least? Like, it's just like, girl, pretty this much. Is what I brought.
Yeah, they haven't really had to like make anything. There's like, oh, I brought this from home. I'm like, well.
Which is cute. It definitely, there's some of the drag, like for instance, Sherry Pie's look and some of the other girls, like the looks were crazy
good. Yeah.
So it I'm sure it enables that on some level, but I do wish we could bring back some of that like more true to life, like I made, like literally like sort of to the roots of drag sort of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. For the challenges, that would be kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Well, so now we get into like the challenge. I guess we can skip through this slightly just because it was that bad. The only people that did really good were Sherry individually, sadly enough. I hate talking about her. And then Widow kind of basically just pulled her team to the finish line as much as she possibly could.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, Rock'em Sakura with her puns was amazing.
Like, I loved, I was saying this yesterday, I loved the like you want some fruit punch, and like while she says punch, she like punches her. Like,
yes,
that was funny. Like, that was actually like a good like fruit pun.
Like, and I think she got to see me. Yes,
yeah. Like, the girls haven't been giving her credit. Like, the fact that she was in the bottom, I thought was weird. I think it has to be like, and this is just me guessing, I think girls maybe have an issue with her as a person as opposed to as a drag queen, because like, she should not have been the last in that lineup, in my opinion. Like, the girl can actually perform.
Yeah.
And this is an acting challenge. Like, it just didn't add up for me.
Yeah. But I also think they were trying to pick, because I think like basically picking people while you're trying to get to know them, you're going based off of, okay, this person is like anime-ish kooky, and people don't really respect anime cosplayers.
That's very true.
Another thing.
This is so sad, because I mean, what other, like, that's like the closest thing to drag outside of like actual drag queens, I think.
The thing that I also think is like playing to her downfall with the other queens is that she quote unquote looks like Trixie and looks like Kimchi. Like, she gets compared to the two of them very often. And I think maybe that's why a lot of the queens sort of underestimate her. She can, but I think a lot of the girls underestimate her because they think that she's more of trying to be something that's not necessarily herself. Like, she's cosplaying as anime characters. She's pretty much cosplaying as Trixie Mattel. She's cosplaying as Kimchi. Like, I think that's why the girls maybe are underestimating her in a way, because nothing that she's done really warrants anyone to underestimate her.
Yeah. I think it's her attitude, like the way
that, yeah,
the thing on her whole like, oh, I just like crying, don't know how to handle myself in a group setting or something thing.
Yeah. Which,
it seems like she has valid reasons for the sort of like issues that she's facing, but because it's become such a big part of her narrative, I'm wondering like how real that is for the other competitors, right? Like, is that why they don't want her on their team? Because if so, agreed. I get it. That makes sense.
I guess I'm not there, but I guess for me, I would have picked her immediately, and I would have picked Britta immediately. Those would have been the two people I would have picked automatically for my group. Unless I was the strongest person, I just wanted two weak people. But you never know when they're going to pick a group to criticize or when they're going to pick individuals. And this week was individuals, which was very funny. So we go into the runway. This theme this week was buttons and bows. I thought that was so fierce.
I got my life. To me.
Like, who are our favorites? I'm going to hold my favorites. Who are your favorites? Like, who are your top? Okay, give me your top two and your two bottoms.
For just runway.
Yeah. Because I think the runway this week really, like, separated the pack in terms of, like, who's actually bringing a concept.
Ooh, this is going to be a polarizing combo. I know it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, okay, one thing I have to get off my chest is that I agree with Caputo. I was real skeptical on Caputo's critique of this person, but once I saw that fucking wig, I was over it. You know exactly who I'm talking about.
See, no one wants to hear me out, but here we go.
I've seen it seven times.
It's a lot. And the fact that also they called out Crystal for using the same makeup, I'm like, again, I was just like, y'all are giving the same look, which is great. I love a consistent look. But who was that girl that had like the, like,
can we also Davis, just for the audience, clarify who we're talking about? Because I don't know if that was super clear for them.
Crystal Method?
So that's one. And then the other person Dolce brought up originally
was fucking Aiden Zane.
Yeah, Aiden Zane. I don't know how anyone liked her. I didn't like her. Personally,
I like her aesthetic in a way. I like her face makeup in a way. I just don't think she has any like the star quality that is needed to be here.
And I have something to ask y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if she has the same resources? Because it looks like she doesn't. And I wonder if she had the same budget as some of the other girls, what that would look like. I don't think it would be much better personally, but I'm actually just posing the question.
I don't even think it's that, because I think for in a way, like her outfits were kind of giving me a little like she has the ideas there. Like, she can definitely like put a look together in her mind. But I think the issue is just one, like her confidence maybe in herself and just like her own level of drag. Like, there's one thing to be a weird queen, and there's another thing to be a weird queen that's like confident in their weirdness and not just like looking at the world as if like no one will ever accept me and I'm doing this because this is who I am. It's more like I'm weird and I know I'm fierce, And I don't think that's Aiden. I don't think Aiden looks at drag that way.
I don't even think you can be a weird queen if you have the same look. Like, she literally is the same person in different outfits, and the outfits are all kind of like, there was nothing about them that stood out to me at all. Like the outfit she had for that bows, and like, it was literally just bows attached to a sweater.
Yeah.
With like some clip-ins on her wig. It was like the same wig from episode one.
Same wig. Same wig.
Or two, whichever one. Like, I was just actually kind of irritated by it when I saw it.
I honestly got my entire life when Britta and Widow, was it? It was them two. They like called her out and they were like, so you were the leader, but like, you didn't lead us in any way, shape, or form.
It was Britta, Sherry.
And Sherry. It was Sherry. Like, you didn't lead us in any way, and like, we had to lead. And then like, oh, why did you pick us? Oh, because I thought you two were like, you know, very animated, and y'all would do a good job. And they're like, okay, so you picked us because you knew that you were going to be terrible at this challenge, and you wanted someone to like help you with your team.
I won't lie. When I saw that conversation, it seemed like, I didn't understand what the point of them doing that was other than for the camera. It just felt like very reality TV made for TV drama.
Yeah.
Because even if that's true, isn't this a competition? Isn't the point to leverage your strengths and weaknesses appropriately? Like, why would you not pick the two strongest competitors to like boost your app up?
I mean, that's very true, but we've seen so many times before that if you put yourself on a team where you know you're not going to shine, and then you put yourself on a team with people that will shine and they outshine you, that's literally just as bad. As choosing terrible, quote unquote, terrible people.
I think this week worked against her the most because A, they had a really terrible concept thanks to the writing, because the writing was terrible. And the idea that you would give people for an improv challenge this another challenge of talking together at the same time, there's no real improv that can happen there to me. I can't fathom being spontaneous, but then also trying to have like a scripted narrative between the three of you of speaking at the same time. It's just very difficult. So there was that piece. I mean, also, I feel like, and this isn't to counteract what you're saying, but I think for Britta, this is very, Britta to me seems like the person that would say something like that. Sherry, not so much. I think Britta is the person that was going to be like, because she did this in the first episode and she's done it in Untucked a few times where it's like, she's just going to tell you like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm confident in what I'm doing. You don't seem like you do. And honestly, you're not going to be making it very far. Like, that's essentially what she was telling Aiden. She was like, so you're just going to like sit around and not do anything? It's almost like a waste of time. And I think that what Aiden's doing is wasting a lot of her potential by kind of second guessing what she's doing and then throwing together these really kitschy looks. Like, she's two steps from being complete in every episode. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's easy to be two steps away when you only have like the same wig. Like literally, she just needs another wig. I think that's the first step.
And y'all dragged me for saying it, but here I am.
Ooh, wait, who is y'all?
Because I'm pretty sure I didn't like Aiden in episode when we talked about it. Like, I was not team Aiden. I was like, girl, this isn't, I'm not sure what to feel about this. We'll see what happens.
I think
like,
she's talking about me because the y'all, the YX apostrophe LL is actually me.
Yeah, it was Dilce because I was definitely team Caputo on this. Like, Aiden was not it for me personally. But I was also like waiting for her to maybe prove me wrong. I'm realizing now this episode that like she's not going to do that. And also, if you notice the way she took the girl's criticism, she was like, girl, I'm ignoring this shit, like whatever. Like, so in a way, it's like on one end, we're saying she's not confident, but on the other, she's able to stand up to these two big ass bitches and be like, girl, whatever, girl, y'all can say what you want to say. I know what I'm doing. It's fierce, fierce. You know, like,
but it's
like,
not. I think it's not. That was the most annoying part of that. That was the most annoying part. She was like, I think I did great. I think I did amazing. I was like, girl. Okay, girl. But I mean, like, what else do you say when you're getting cornered? Like, you're
just delusion. Like, yeah, convince yourself.
And that's why I'm lost with her, because from my perspective, I'm like, you need to know when you're doing poorly for me to, like, respect it. Like, if you can look at it and be like, yeah, I didn't really perform that, but I'm going to do better. That's better than being like, girl, I'm a bad bitch, da, 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 and then you're actually not that great. So, like, that's why I don't have high hopes for her outside of just, like, the judges magically liking everything that she does. But I know she's going to get tagged for that wig if she does that shit again.
Yeah, she better get tagged for it, because if they're gonna come for Crystal, they have to kind of come for
Aiden.
So
and
like,
I didn't even hate Crystal doing that. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So then in terms of like the looks, honestly, my top two, bitch, ooh, Gigi, and that 25,000 buttons, like very Mugler look she had on that runway. She did that to me. Yeah, I don't know if it didn't have any bows on it, but with the sheer amount of buttons, it made sense for the runway. And also the hair, like, who?
The hair was very interesting. I don't think I've ever seen hair like that, where it kind of like cascades, like
cascading curls. Yes.
Yeah. I've never seen like that. I was like very like impressed with that and like the whole effect of it. It was very cute.
House of Gigi went the fuck off. Like her mom or whoever the fuck put that shit together.
House of Good. Yes. That black, that black market white house look. Yes.
So it's actually really funny that you say there wasn't a bow on it, because if you actually saw her Instagram post of like the outfit, there's a very close zoom in of her crotch and there's a bow right over her crotch. Very small one. If you like, if y'all want to just look at it, because like,
I'm doing that immediately.
It is actually everything, because there's not one bow in sight, but all the way, like it's kind of even tucked underneath the skirt.
Oh my God. That's so smart.
Right.
What? And if they had asked her where it was, she could have popped her pussy.
She could have popped her pussy right there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She did that. No, she honestly gagged. Instagram. She gagged me.
Gaggery.
The gaggery.
That's a solid look queen. Like, she's actually proving herself to actually be a look queen, because she still got everything else, but she's giving shit to think. You think shit to think about. Like, this is like
a lot of the girls want to say that they're look queens this season too, and I don't believe a lot of them, but I do believe Gigi from the very beginning. I'm like, you are definitely giving me a look.
I also stand no breastplate. I know I've said this before.
Oh, of course. Give
you bare chest. I love it. It's like the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it too. Okay, so Dolce, what's your other top one?
My other top? Okay, so honestly, it's a tie. It's between Rock'em Sakura and Dahlia Sin.
Oh, wow. Oh, I thought we were going to overlap a little bit, but we have completely different tops.
Have a conversation, huh?
Okay, so wait. So Rock'em Sakura. Dahlia Sin's was cute. I liked the like the rabbit ears where it was kind of like falling apart almost. Like,
oh wow, I love Deconstructed with like the pins.
Deconstructed, yes.
The pins. She had a very interesting headpiece. Her mauve, like the mauve hair, no eyebrows. Like, it really didn't detract from her face. It made her face even more gorgeous than it already is. And then the rest of the outfit was just so cohesive, like with the monochromatic colors, like. It was pretty sickening. Like, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
then
didn't love it. No.
What? Okay. No, yeah. That's your opinion.
I love parts of it. I didn't like the actual piece.
Yeah, same.
Because it was, like you said, it was deconstructed. It had a very clear concept of what she was trying to do. But to me, mm-hmm. she just looked kind of like crumpled, like kind of like a crumpled gift wrapping paper or something on the floor. Like, it didn't like hit to me like in an aesthetically pleasing way. But I did get what she was going for. So I guess it was just an execution thing. But I love the ears. I thought those were cute.
And then my second look was Rock'em Sakura, because I love Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. Loved her makeup. Loved the buttons on her face. The hair. You know what? There was one nitpick. Two nitpicks. The shoes, I would have changed. And the hair, I would have made a little bit. She had multiple wigs kind of sewn together as like ponytails, and it made it look like as if the hair on the ground wasn't necessarily all put together. But thankfully, she had bows on it, so it kind of blended it in together and made me detract attention. But I love the concept, and it's very similar concept to the drag that I would do. Yeah.
Hers was one of my favorites too. I actually liked the shoes, because she was working with the wig and the bows on the wig. I didn't think she needed to like push the shoes further than they were. Like, they kind of remind me of those like strappy sort of black heels that the girls would wear, like kind of in the, like, I guess as a reference to Alice herself. So I didn't really have an issue with them, but I agree with you. I think the execution of the wig was weird. I actually would have preferred a long braid instead with bows down the braid. I think that would have made more sense to me personally and have been cuter than this like shaggy like tail thing that she's got.
I mean, I definitely like the idea of it. It was almost kind of like one of the more ballsy of the looks.
She's definitely one of the ballsiest ones.
Yeah, she definitely like will take a risk, which I really liked. And, you know, I love like the Rapunzel moment. Like, I love a good, like, hair dragging on the floor moment. Like, that was honestly a gag. It was.
Yeah. When Akira did it, in her orange look, I almost lost my breath. I could not believe it.
Oh my God. Yeah, like,
I mean, genuinely an anime queen with versatility. I mean, are we mad?
Yeah. And we're not shocked either. Like, I definitely expect that from her, especially for her being from San Francisco, which is kind of like a more eclectic drag scene. And obviously more like Asian influence and like all that kind of stuff. So I definitely liked hers. It definitely wasn't like anywhere near my bottom. So
agreed. What were y'all tops?
Okay, so again, I thought we were gonna have a little bit of overlap, but definitely I'll say top two. I don't want to say my top, but like Sherry Pie was definitely like up there. Like, okay. Like Sherry Pie gagged me just from the button glasses. Even that was enough of a gag. And so, because the fact that she took them off and it was like all blackout contacts, that gagged me like to another plane. Like I was already gagged, and then she just decided to really like just rip off every follicle that I had left. Yes. So she obviously put a lot of thought into that.
It was very Gaga Paparazzi meets like,
yeah,
villain doll Annabelle, some kind of crossover between that.
There was a couple like ones that did like a little like Alice in Wonderland / Disney-ish theme, like Bo Peep, or like even what's her name? Jackie Cox did a little bit of like a Mary Poppins kind of thing. Like there was a lot of plays on that because obviously like the bows and the buttons, like it's very that kind of era. But I did like Sherry Pie. Wow. Like fuck me up. And then I think my other top would have to be Jan.
Oh yes. Jan's
like,
voodoo doll.
Jan with the voodoo doll. Again, yeah. I love a reveal. So like the fact that she came again before she even took the face off, like to like reveal her actual face, like I was already gagged. Like it was just like, it was crazy. Like, and the thing is like, I don't want to underestimate Jan. For some reason I do, or not that I do, but I'm always surprised when she like really impresses me. And I don't know why that is.
Jan is so clearly one of the girls like in real life that we'd be like, girl,
right?
You know, right? It's like we know what side of the gay culture she's low-key probably in.
Yeah,
so I think it bleeds into the critique, but bitch, standable, like
she's standable. So like I was obviously like getting my entire life, and the thing is like, I love like the heart, like the bleeding heart. So there's just like so many parts of that I really liked. The fact that it wasn't like super cinched, but she still had a really nice silhouette. The fact that, like, again, like, it's a very, like, voodoo doll, so it almost just looked like a pin, like one of those little pin things. What are those called? Like, the little pin thing where you put the pins in to keep them, to store them? I don't know what it's called. I'm not a seamstress.
Oh,
but
like a push pin. Like
yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So it kind of looked like that, where there's just, like, a bunch of just random, like, pins and buttons everywhere, and then, like, her hat or her head with, like, a bow. Like, it gave me everything. Absolutely everything. Yeah.
I think it's hard for me with Jan because, just going back to that real quick, when you look at the way she beats her face and the type of, like, I can imagine her out in the club somewhere, kind of like the types of drag queens that I've been exposed to, and I wouldn't be totally interested in her that much off the bat because she kind of, it's just like her aesthetic is just not doing anything for me outside of kind of like Miss, like white gay America kind of a thing. But when you see her do the challenges and like actually do the runways, it's like, oh, like there's a person behind that who's making good decisions. Not necessarily a dig, because she's clearly proving herself kind of to be way more interesting than that and to be making really good decisions sort of every week. So I'm totally open to being pleasantly surprised by her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just another face, and that's it. That's all I need from her. Just like another face, a real cute like concept that has a different face, a look, and like everything completely just from the ground up, because I know that she can do that, then
yeah,
I'll stand. But I'm not there yet.
A gag from her of like, I don't know, next week of her just being like a full on pageant gown, pageant hair updo. Like, I would love to see Jan beautified in the pageant way just to see if her face can handle a heavy beat. Or maybe if she can make it her own like Marilyn Monroe kind of like pageant beat for herself. That would be nice to see from her.
I feel like she has one of those faces though that just goes like, it's going to be fine. Like, she, I wouldn't say she's fish per se, but she's got like one of the fishier faces out of the group.
I mean, she definitely has like a smooth face, yes. Definitely like a more rounder face. She doesn't have a crazy jawline or anything like that. Right. Gigi has like a jaw and a chin on her. So yeah. Like sometimes like it comes through, but like again, like it's not like really working against her or anything. It's just like it's definitely there, you know.
Right. With Gigi, it just kind of gives model because you know.
Yeah, the angular.
Angular, yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the looks that I was not impressed with, I'm just going to say, I'm so sorry, Widow. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare mm-hmm. you? Like yeah. that clown look honestly just did not do it for me.
Nope.
I tried so hard to like it. You know when you justify things?
Fashion. She said that was a high fashion look that y'all might not understand.
I know. Maybe. That's what I meant. That's what I meant earlier when I said a lot of these girls like want to say that they're high fashion and they're like giving you like a fashion moment and it's just like not the case. It was bad. Like someone lied to her several times and was just like, you're fashion. Someone lied to her several times.
Someone told her it was fly and it wasn't. It was sexy. It wasn't. No.
It sucked too because it wasn't like, oh, you know, this is a conversation about how like size impacts fashion. No, it just wasn't a cute outfit, girl. It didn't look good. And that's my problem with it. It just wasn't cute.
And then Heidi in Closet. I'm so sorry. Like, that was so cheap. Pinocchio was done on this runway by Milk, and to this day, it's still the fiercest thing.
It's still fierce. I kind of got a little bit of life because, like, it was honestly, like, it was a put-together look for her, you know? Like, and again, like, it was not, like, you know, sloppy as much as I kind of was expecting from her. And that's not really a read. It's just, like, I need to be impressed before I start giving her any sort of credit. It's just like that nose. From one side, it looked like it was contoured and blended. And then she turned around and I could like literally see where it was lifting. And I was like, I want to like it so bad. I want to stand. I want to give you some props, but like I can't give it to you with no merit.
Yeah, she was wonderful in the challenge, but the fucking looks, there's something missing each time. There's always something wrong.
She's always a little, it's like the kid, you can't put white on their clothes. You can't have them wear white because they're always going to put like get food on it or something. Like she's always, there's just always something a little just disheveled about her. And I'm waiting for like that moment where she gives us like a fully polished look, especially too, because she's got such large eyes and large features. That's something that could really work in her favor with her makeup. I feel like she's totally underutilizing her face.
Agreed. Like it's the tones and the shapes that she's doing and the things that she's assuming work, which when she watches it back, like I know she's going to change her makeup because she already has in some of the promos and she looks gorgeous in some of the promos now that she's changed the tones of her makeup. So hopefully she learned it while she was on the show. Otherwise, she might end up, you know, not making top five, I don't even think, with like the current looks. But her personality's winning. She's so funny.
I mean, she just gives me Chi Chi Devane like part two. Like that's it's literally the same story. Like every time she talks in a confessional, they play the country music. She's from wherever the fuck, Louisiana, Alabama, Montgomery. She
is from Romser, North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Where chickens outnumber the people. Like
that was.
It was actually kind of a line. Like that actually is really funny. But the thing is, like, and that's why I want to root for her because, like, I feel like they stack all those things against a queen, either to make her an underdog or just to like completely throw her away. And I want to like really, really stand and like give her the space that she needs. But now that I'm realizing that the show is more of like a show, it's more of a TV like reality show than it is a competition, so I don't really know where I have to stand to like support her, but she just needs to be giving me more and she's not. She's not it.
And if she were to win, I'd be very, very, very surprised.
I would like to see her perform though. I want to see her lip sync because Chi Chi gave us lip syncs. Like yeah, Chi Chi gave us performance
lip syncs.
Okay, you're not gonna say that she's
we're not,
and I'm telling you, I'm not going.
We're not getting into this. I don't want to talk about it.
What do you mean you don't want to talk about it? She's I'm telling you, I'm not going is everything.
It was something.
Oh wow.
It was something. Look, the best lip sync in the entire history of RuPaul's Drag Race was Dita Ritz murders a white woman on stage.
Yeah. We all know that for a fact.
Like, there's no lip sync that will ever get to that level ever again. Like, I other than, or maybe like the close second was Alyssa Edwards versus Tatiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's how I feel about lip syncs. Like, if you're not at that level, mentioning lip syncs, let's just talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this. Wait, Dahlia. I didn't get to give my tops and bottoms yet.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Yeah, let me just quickly. I totally agree that Rock'em Sakura was up there. Love the concept. Thought it was amazing. I really, really, really loved Sherry's. Sherry Pies to me was exactly what this whole show's like runway should be about. Like, you take the concept, you give us like a transformative fashion look, and then you surprise me in some way by like being clever or giving me some kind of a reveal. Like the way that she pulled that like horror pop, like she gave you like a pop of horror after this whole like cute baby doll look. And mm-hmm. then like the way she walked out with the heels and like the little prop, like perfect. I thought it was great. As far as what I did not like, girl, Widow Von Du, baby girl. Oh, we already talked about it, but fuck. Like, It did not look expensive. It didn't even look purposely inexpensive. It just looked kind of like an arts and crafts project to me personally. And maybe I have to watch it again. And I've watched it twice already to like get it, but I just don't get that one. And as far as like a second least favorite, I think it would, even though I genuinely actually kind of liked most of the looks, I would have to say it's Crystal Method because I was just bored out of my mind by what she was wearing.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I expected her not to do is bore me. And she did it somehow. Somehow she did it. So
But that's also like what we were kind of talking about earlier. It's like you can be weird, but like, you know, like it's just not always going to hit in the right way.
Yeah. If you don't have the full vision.
Honorary mention for best though, definitely Gigi Good. Beautiful.
Oh, I can't, like that's a separate episode with all her with all her references. So that lip sync, quick, succinct, it was terrible, but you know, they made the right decision of sending home the girl I said was gonna go home.
Did she really need to go before Crystal Method?
Yes. So that terrible ass lip sync. Like, who put, okay, first of all, you're doing Ariana Grande with who was the other person? Whatever.
Bitch, we don't know who that. We don't know who that is.
We don't know her. But anyway, it was a typical drag song. Like, you got Dahlia Sin is supposed to be from House of Aja. Where was the House of Aja?
That's what I was saying. I was like, how are you from the House of Aja and you're this bad at lip syncing? Or maybe not like this bad, but just like you're not giving me any energy. Like,
the thing is, she said it herself. She wants to be sexy.
But that's so annoying. Sexy.
That's sexy. There's a difference between being sexy and not knowing the words to the song.
That's a sexy broccoli, honey.
The girl that I thought was so funny was, and I guess it wasn't for the actual lip sync, but when Nikki Doll was like, oh, well, I have 3 years of English compared to her 28. Like, that really could have been applied to the lip sync too. Because I'm like, Nikki Doll, even though she didn't know all the lyrics, like she definitely knew a considerable amount more than Dahlia. I was like, girl, what is going on here?
But was the lip sync the worst part? Because I think it was literally the lack of any movement or energy from either girl. They were both literally giving the same performance.
They were giving you like, I'm a pretty girl.
One was in French, one was in English, and it wasn't Dahlia in English. So
Dahlia wasn't in any language. She wasn't even talking.
So
she wasn't even lip syncing.
Girl, I was so gagged because I was like, at first I was like, oh, this is bad. Because I was like, why is it so bad? Oh, it's because they literally are the most boring people I've ever seen on lip sync.
But the thing is, the last time we had a lip sync this bad, both girls were sent home. Vivian Panay and Honey Mahogany. They were both trying to be cute and pretty and walking around and doing nothing. It was literally the same exact ass lip sync as that one back in what season was that? 6? 5? I forget. Yeah, it was a while ago.
It was season five.
That was a while ago, but still, like, and Rue didn't even say anything.
Rue's
like,
gotta pay the bills, girl. That fracking.
But that's so, and that just goes to show, like, no one cares about the talent no more. You're not trying to give me quality drag. You're just trying to give me something to watch, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Period.
There was like, nothing to watch except for the paint dry.
And the thing is, I really would have gagged if it was a double elimination because, like, no one got eliminated for the past 2 weeks. So it's like, why not? You know, there's so many girls. So why not?
I think part of that was hubris potentially, and this is just speculation, but these are two girls, and I don't know how Dahlia was like this, but these are two girls, Dahlia included, who thought there was no way they were going to be lip syncing for their life. So yeah. Those girls was not learning. They were not learning shit. Okay. Yeah. They were not learning. They were not getting ready to pull anything off. Like the wig reveals were weird. Like it just didn't look right.
Dahlia's wig was so bad. Yeah, it was so bad.
The little bang things.
It looked better in the challenge.
Yeah.
But in the runway, it looked like she had hair coming from the two sides of her head and it wasn't in the like by her forehead.
Yep.
And it just like looked very strange. Like I wasn't sure what exactly she was going for. And then when she took like all of it off, I was like, I still don't think you really knew what you were doing when you put this on. But
I also, and this is just a nitpick for me, I'm not in love with the way she beats her lip. And that's like a personal thing, but like I get it. Everyone basically overdraws the lip, but for some reason, like the way it looked in the camera, maybe it was just like sweat, because she actually was sweating apparently.
Yeah.
But it just, something about that didn't hit right either. I just felt really bad for her because her whole brand is like looking as, you know, like looking amazing. And I don't think that she even accomplished that much personally.
Ooh.
Damn. And that's not a, like, she's a gorgeous queen. I follow her on Instagram. She's great. But, like, it just didn't connect for me on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, her whole personality just did not connect whatsoever to her drag. And that just tells you that this is a person who's good at looking good. But that's all you're going to get. And that's fine. There are some people who are just supposed to stand there and be beautiful and maybe talk some shit. And even then, she's not doing anything. Like, I know that if she went into a reading battle with me, I'd probably tear her into the ground. Like she'd be calling suicide prevention hotline tomorrow.
Yeah, girl, you get your level 99 gear on, bitch.
Yeah, like if she decided to read me, I'd probably be level 99 World of Warcraft full armor set, and she'd be just starting in the beginner's tutorial.
And that's the thing where it comes like when you're House of Aja, like, or just like a house of anybody, like you can tell. You only get as much of being from a house as you like really want to take on. And I feel like maybe she got like some aesthetic from Aja, because I could see the family resemblance when I look at them in drag. Like I could see it, but like I don't get the star quality. I don't get the performance value. I don't get the attitude.
She gives you bad bitch attitude. That's her whole thing.
She gives you bad bitch attitude, but more like pretty bad bitch attitude. Not like...
I didn't know there were categories of boring bad bitch attitude. Yeah, it was just boring. Like it's like, I don't need to do anything. I'm going to sit here and look good. Like the first episode she showed up, she was like, well, I'm going to just look at myself some more. Like, don't you remember that? Where she was I'm just going to look at myself in the mirror. Like she's just, like she was giving that. And at first I thought it was cute. Like, oh, this is like a little shtick. But when she gets on stage or in the challenges, I'm sure she'll like give you something. But unfortunately, that was actually it.
I needed Dahlia to
get on top of like that box and just, is she gonna jump from there and just and just death drop off it, because like that is how you would have really won me over, honestly. Like, because you're House of Aja, and in the same way that Plastique was saying, if I lip sync, like I'm gonna give y'all a performance because I'm House of Edwards, like I'm gonna do it. Like I need you to come with that same energy, not like, oh, like I don't deserve to be in the bottom. Like I'm super pretty. Like I'm gonna just turn it out. Like I need you to be like, I deserve to be here because I have this legacy. I'm this family. I have all these people behind me that have like made me to this amazing drag queen. Not like I can be pretty and that's it.
She literally said, like, I was just trying to give like a sexy broccoli. Like I said, what? Yeah, I just, my broccoli was sexy.
So they were like, you kept turning your face away from the camera. Well, you know, I was just trying to be sexy. How the fuck does that translate to being sexy to me?
I said, this girl must get boosted up so much in her scene.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
She must get so boosted in her scene.
Because legitimately, you can be a part of a house, but you're never going to be. I'm sorry. I'm not going to drag her. But like, I don't know if either of you know, but I'm sorry. I would have rather seen Candy Muse on this season.
Yes! Oh my god, I love Candy Muse.
Bitch, and see, I follow her.
That's a bitch that like has the House of Aja like moment. Like she has the whole package when it comes to like the attitude, the star power, the lip syncing ability, the versatility.
She's also unique and interesting to look at.
Yes.
No offense to Dahlia.
Dahlia
is beautiful, but Candy is extremely beautiful to me.
One thing I've always loved about Candy Muse's makeup is her like straight brow.
Yeah.
It's like a super straight and long brow that pretty much goes to like the side of her head. It captivates me every time because it almost looks like she has no emotion. And she always kind of does like a pouty face. So it just literally looks like she's like an emotionless like Barbie doll. And it like, it just gives me everything. Wow.
She also has like the biggest, most nicest lips ever.
Oh, okay. Huge.
She's like a bad bitch, period.
Candy Muse is it. Like, I follow her on Twitter. I follow her on Instagram. I'm tagging her when we release this episode. Like, Candy Muse, Candy Muse is it.
Can we talk about Alone in VIP?
Bitch, Alone in VIP.
Like, she started a movement with all the drag queens, like, just sitting there, like, emotionless, just sitting there. Alone in the VIP. Like, fuck me up. I would have loved to see her.
What a legend.
In this season.
And she's got the, like, because I won't lie to you, like, nowadays, and this is, again, not, it's no shade, it's just an observation. Like, I feel like nowadays, it's like, kind of based on our first conversation, there's like this Instagram queen thing. Yep. So, like, you can get your clout from anywhere. And I feel like she's got that for sure. Like, she's got this whole look down. I would have loved to see her, have seen her on the actual show. So maybe, like, in a future season. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So the lipstick was terrible. And then I guess the last thing we'll talk about is Dahlia Sin walking out, be Dahlia Sin.
Storming out, honey.
Storming. Apparently, according to another interview, it was at least an hour of them trying to convince Dahlia to talk to the cameras for her entrance. Like, she was going to walk out and not do anything.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I could tell that she was, like, obviously super upset that she didn't get it and, like...
Well, she didn't understand it. She didn't get it, literally. She was literally like, I'm that bitch.
How could I? Because I think she was still trying to process how she was even in the bottom two after she was eliminated. She was like, wait, am I actually in the bottom two?
She said, but I'm sexy.
But I'm sexy. But I'm cute.
But I was sexy.
Sexy broccoli.
Candy's not sexy. Not Candy. Wow. Sherry is not sexy.
I'm cutting
you mean
that
Nikki.
Out.
Nikki.
Candy is sexy. Sherry's not sexy. She's not giving sexy.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
She even name dropped Sherry in her outro, which to me means like she must have been harping on that in reality.
Didn't she name drop Crystal?
Sorry, that's why I meant Crystal. Not Sherry. Okay. Yeah, she was talking about Crystal. She was
said
like
that Crystal should be in the bottom.
And saying Crystal should be in the bottom. When you call a girl out by name, like she literally was like, girl, it should have been her lip syncing, not me.
Crystal Method was crying and Dahlia Sin walked away from the group and she's like in a mirror. And then Britta comes over to talk to her and is like, hey, like, are you okay? This, that, and the other. And Dahlia's like, girl, I'm over it. I'm tired. Like, everyone's paying Crystal attention. I don't know why they're still trying to like big her up and try to like bring her together. This is not therapy. Like, please stop. I'm like, damn, Dahlia, you really
That's
are just
a trash attitude to have though.
She's unlikable, but it's also because, like, and this isn't me shading anyone, and I don't want this to come off as bitter, but, like, when you're beautiful, consistently being told that you're great, and then other people are not paying you attention when you're just as good, it fucks with you, because usually you're at a 10, and everyone else compared to you is, like, a 7, 7.5, but then when you are comparatively a 5 with a bunch of other people who are kind of like 5s, but you view them way lower, it messes with you, because not only are you being equalized with everyone else because everyone else is just as good, but you're also being put down a bit because now you're being compared to those people who are just as good as you, and now there's a rebalancing of importance and actual like viability. Like, you are being the rules of society are thrown out the window kind of, and new ones are put in place, and you're just like, wow, I had my OnlyFans was making me 10,000 a month. Like, everybody was subscribed to me. I was getting all these likes, everything. And I'm still beautiful. And people are not valuing it as much. This is not getting me by. That's what Dahlia is going through.
It sucks because it's like big fish, big fish, little pond type of vibes. Like, you're literally on a television show right now. Like, this is not your hometown. Like, this is a completely different environment. You have to step up to that level. Yeah. And it's not to say that she's not beautiful or suddenly just because there's other pretty girls there too, but like, we literally just finished gushing over like Gigi's look. Like there's plenty of girls in various lanes who are killing her. And that includes Sherry, who is not considered a look queen. She's a camp queen. And she like gave this complete concept on the runway. Like you can't just like go into that environment and just look good the whole time and not do anything else about it.
The T is it's not about getting on the level. It's about even being able to level up, period. She's not on anyone's level. That's the T. And that's what she found out.
I think that she's on Crystal Method's level. I think so. At least at this point in the game, which I kind of get why she's upset. But at the same time, like,
well, she's upset because she thinks she's way better than Crystal Method. She doesn't think she and Crystal are the same.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like her attitude towards it was very kind of like immature in a way of like, you're not even really looking at yourself as a person that needs to grow.
Yes.
And I think it's stupid for anyone to go into this experience and say, I'm done growing. I'm just here to show myself. Because if you've watched the show, and I know all the queens this season have watched the show before, like, you know that even the best queen will grow along and take critique and polish themselves, or maybe not polish themselves, but like make themselves more well-rounded, which is the whole point of the show. So the fact that she was unable to do that from the first moment that she was kind of like faced with that, it's just like, you're not even really made for this. And it's not like all drag queens are made for this. It's not like, not even like the best drag queen outside of Drag Race could go into the show and leave third, you know? Agreed. Like, so it's not even like you weren't good enough to make it. It's just like, this is not the venue for you because you're not willing to learn and change and like take critique and change maybe the fundamental parts of who you are as a drag queen, which is a pretty bitch.
Well, also exactly. Just like play the game. Cause I don't even want to say learn and like the learning and teaching, I think is totally true because this is the 12th season of this show. So like on some level, like if you actually have watched the show and you've been a fan and you're a drag queen and you're in the scene, like I'm imagining that you'd know not to go into this experience just any kind of a way. Because you should kind of know how to anticipate the challenges and anticipate how to react to things. So that part, I think, is where the learning and growing definitely comes in. But there's also just like a girl, like this isn't even about drag half the time. This is a reality TV show.
Exactly.
Like you have to be willing to play whatever the fucking game is.
Yeah.
You want to thrive.
Yeah. Just to wrap up, like I completely vibe with what both of you are saying, especially Caputo, because like legitimately Nasha Lopez was Miss Continental and she was probably the worst contestant of her season.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was Miss Continental, and in Miss Continental, Nasha Lopez slayed the game. I've watched her compete and she is absolutely gorgeous, amazing. And that didn't change like with what she was doing, but it just was not her venue. And sometimes it's not your venue.
Right.
Brooklyn Heights was Miss Continental as well. And she performed completely different than Nasha Lopez. So this is a competition that is not only polarizing, but it changes what you know about television and what you know about drag and kind of puts them all together and like puts you through a blender. And if you make it through the blender, work. If you don't, then, you know, you're out of it. But that doesn't devalue or, you know, make you more valuable.
If it's not your venue, like, it's just not your venue. Like, there's not much you can do about it unless you are a very, very malleable person, which is a hard quality to have. Like, to just be able to change yourself based on a different situation. So, like, sometimes it's just really not your venue. But, like, what came to Dahlia's downfall is that she had a piss-poor attitude.
We were rooting for you, Dahlia.
Yeah,
we were like, all rooting for you.
How dare you? When my mother yells at me like this, this is because she loves me.
This is Aja. This is Aja yelling at her when she sees her.
Aja doesn't even do drag anymore, so it's fine.
I mean, she
takes responsibility.
She drag every once in a while with her manses. Her manses.
Learn something from
and her rap career. Anyways, bon voyage and bon voyage. Goodbye, Dahlia Sin. Great to know you. Never loved you.
And you all tune in with us next week because I guarantee you the next person to go home is Nikki Doll. So, yes.
I was about to ask, what do you think? And I'm sad because I love Nikki, but I agree if she goes home, I won't be mad.
No, I don't think that they're going to send two pretty girls in the same. Like, I think they're going to wait a little bit. I'll say Aiden Zane goes home next.
I'd be happy to see that. I would like to see it.
I'll say Aiden Zane. Okay. Let's see who's the real prophetess. Let's see who's the real prophetess this time.
The real prophetess.
So far we think potentially Aiden Zane or Nikki Doll.
Nikki Doll, yeah.
I'm gonna put down for Aiden Zane too, because I would just love that to happen. So it's not even about me guessing. I'm just praying.
Are we putting down bets?
Girl, clout. Okay, we'll see you next episode.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of For Filth. Please follow us on all relevant social media platforms at For Filth Podcast to gain more content and hear way more messy antics from the cast. We're also available on our personal social media linked in the description and at forfilth.net.